And we'll be looking, bouncing off that final section that Jimmy read in Luke, that Jesus is the light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory to Israel. We'll be bouncing off that theme at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. And we'll be looking at the themes of light and darkness. And the title to the sermon is The Light Concealed and Revealed in Christ. And so let us take a look at Philippians chapter 2. We'll be reading from verse 5 through to verse 11, but we'll be concentrating on verses 5 to 8. Hear the word of God. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Father, now I pray that you may glorify your Son as your Son has glorified you, and that your light will shine once again in this dark world this day throughout all the churches where Christ is preached and honored. And that in this world, O Lord, we may see a light once again of revelation to us Gentiles and glory to your nation Israel. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The Christmas season, as we are currently in, is a season of celebration. It is the summer holidays. Many people have traveled to visit family members or traveled with family members to holiday destinations across the country. But of course, while it is a joyous occasion, an occasion for celebration, the season also has a dark side. Bouncing off 800 deaths that have already happened on the roads in South Africa, the increase of violence, and of course, the loss of loved ones, the mourning that accompanies that, and the period of bitter loneliness that it is for many people, the season itself has a dark shadow that hangs over it. There are also the great two markers of the season, which begins with the newly in a custom of Black Friday, which introduces the greed of humanity and concludes with New Year's Eve and its rampant licentiousness. The season itself then has this great dark shadow that is cast over it amidst the joy and celebration that we all experience. On top of that, many of us, and to us here probably this morning, the season goes by as fast-paced as anything else, and really, time in itself becomes insignificant because it goes by in a flash. Without us reflecting, without us thinking, and to us, it probably just passes by unnoticed. There is something of great significance that we can learn of Christmas being celebrated during this period. The coming of Jesus into the world was his coming, after all, into darkness. That is exactly how John describes it in the first chapter of his gospel, when he says that the light came into the darkness. And that's echoing Genesis chapter 1, where God himself speaks the very first words in the Bible, and it is light shining in the darkness. And so in a great sense, we know that Christ came in a period of greed, a period of violence, a period of loose living and bad morals, a period of loss and loneliness, and a period of complete apathy to his coming. This is, after all, how he came, unnoticed in a little town of Bethlehem, a small insignificant town among all the great cities of the ancient world, Rome and Greece, and the great philosophical cities in the city of Alexandria in Africa, unnoticed in Bethlehem. Not even known to his own people, even though the scriptures spoke very clearly that he would come in a little town called Bethlehem. It seemed as though those in the temple didn't know when the wise men asked them where he was. He came quietly in a manger, unnoticed. But here, in this little one, in this little Christ, came the light shining in the darkness. So we'll look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, just these three verses, And I will use the imagery of light and darkness to point out three things from this hymn that we can learn of Jesus for this period. Firstly, we'll see that by nature, Jesus was in the form of light. Now, you remember I'm using the image of light and darkness. He was in the form of light, and we'll explain exactly what I mean by that. From verse 7, we'll see that in Jesus, the light was concealed in human form. And then thirdly, we'll see that Jesus came to shine the light into the darkness of humanity from verse 8. Well, let's take a look at the first of those. By nature, Jesus was in the form of light, and we'll get that from verse 6. Now, the Bible consistently uses the language of light to describe the nature of God. In the creation account found in Genesis chapter 1, it is God who speaks first, and he speaks light into a dark world. That is the light that emanates from his very being. And throughout the entire Old Testament, light is synonymous with God's glory and the symbol of his presence. Light also describes the perfection of God's beauty. And so, in a great sense, according to the Jewish worldview, light is a category description for God's glory, his radiance, his beauty, his perfection, and his holiness, in sum, his nature. Furthermore, it is often contrasted with darkness. In Scripture, darkness is often the image of evil, confusion, and chaos. And so, God's nature is often described as light in contrast to the darkness of evil. We get this elevated, well, clearly stated by John in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, when he says this: "This is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Now, therefore, when Jesus made the statement, "I am the light of the world," he was making a statement of his nature in relation to the nature of God. Therefore, when early Christians described Jesus' divine nature, they chose to use the imagery of light. For example, John writes in John 1 verse 5, speaking of Jesus, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And speaking later, once again, in verse 9, he speaks of the darkness that enlightens every man that is in the world, the light in itself that shines in the utter darkness. Of course, this imagery that we have spoken of here in John chapter 1, verse 9, this light and darkness imagery is straight from the Old Testament, especially a creation account in Genesis chapter 1, where it is now describing Jesus doing what God did when the world was created, by coming into the world and by his light ordering and shaping the chaos that exists. He comes to shine the light of God's nature in the dark world and once again order the chaos of humanity's darkness. Jesus is, as Paul writes here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, very literally, in the form of God. Now, the word translated form is used only three times in the New Testament, as is used here in verses 6 and 7. But consistently, it is used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament when speaking of God's appearance, or when it's relating his visible manifestation of his glory. And so the word can be translated here as nature. And this is how it's often translated in some of the other translations, such as what Lindy's put in the bulletin for you. It is his nature. And so here, in a great sense, when Paul writes that he was in the form of God, it says that he has the nature of God himself. Paul is without doubt saying that Jesus is the representation of God. He is not merely like Adam, who is just a figure or an image. He is the true visible manifestation of the nature of God. Paul could easily have said that Jesus is light. But the question is, why is this not obvious to all? And the reason for that is, in Jesus, the light was concealed in human form. Now, the reason I say that Jesus concealed the light with human form is because of what Paul means when he writes here in verse 7 that he emptied himself. Now, theologians have grappled with the meaning of these words for centuries. What does he mean that he emptied himself? Did he empty himself of his divine nature? But the best way to understand these words is with reference to God Himself condescending in His full glory in the Old Testament. You see, whenever God appeared to His people in the Old Testament, He always had to conceal His glory for the benefit of His creatures. For example, in Exodus chapter 19, after the Israelites had come out of the land of Egypt, they enter into the wilderness, and there before Mount Sinai, God descends upon the mountain, concealed in a cloud. His glory concealed. Why? Well, the reason is given to Moses when Moses himself, the friend of God, the close companion of God, asks very intimately to see God's glory. And this is how God responds to Moses. You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. You see, in the ancient world, people believed that a person's face was a true reflection of their character. If you speak to a person face to face, you can see a lot from a person's face. You can see if they truly are speaking the truth or if they're hiding something or if they're lying. You see, a person's face was considered the true reflection of their character. Their face revealed, in a sense, their nature, what's hidden behind. Now, Moses wanted to see God's nature in all of its fullness, but no human being can comprehend God as He is in Himself. That's the reality. No human being can look on God's face and live. If you want an image, for example, for this, it is like going outside here this morning and looking full on into the sun. I want you to try that when you walk out. Without any sunglasses, stare into the sun and see how long you can look for. All right, don't do that, because it will be really bad for you. From 147 million kilometers away, the sun is still very dangerous to the human body. And God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we cannot even look into the sun, which is a mere creature, a creation of God's own glory, how much less can we look into the full glory of the living and true God? And so this is why God concealed Himself, either in a cloud, or why He dwelt in a tabernacle or a temple, why He speaks through prophets. You see, because we cannot comprehend God in His fullness. He is too much for our minds. But you see, in the Old Testament, all of these things, the cloud, the prophets, the tabernacle, the temple, still kept God at a distance. God had to do something radically different if He wanted to be made known. He wanted to, in the words of Eugene Peterson, He had to actually move into the neighborhood. He had to come and live between you and I. He had to speak our language. He had to become one of us. And this is, of course, the story of Christmas. In Jesus, you see, God's light puts sunglasses on for our sake. He makes us understandable. He makes us understand who He is. He condescends. He comes down. He gives up so that we ourselves can look and see and understand. If you want to understand who Jesus truly is, He is God's glory wrapped in flesh. He conceals God's brilliance and reveals His beauty in a way we can comprehend without harming us. He draws near. You see, in Jesus, the God of eternity comes close enough for us to have a look and see His face, His true nature, who He truly is. He moves into the neighborhood, so to speak. He becomes one of us. Now this is what John means when he writes in 1 John chapter 1 verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, and as the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." That's what John's reflecting upon when he thinks of this. He realizes that the God of glory has come down, and He has shown us His glory in a way that we can see and understand. Literally, if you want a literal translation, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. This is, in a sense, what Paul means when he writes here in verse 7, "But He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men." The light here in this occasion is now wrapped in flesh and conceals the glory of God's deity so that we can behold Him in His glory. We call this the incarnation. We call this God becoming man. We call this Emmanuel, God with us. But the question is, was this a concealing or a revealing? That's the big question. Was God concealing Himself or making Himself known? And the answer is that it was both. On Christmas morning, God's glory came wrapped in a crying infant. But as He grew in wisdom and knowledge, the glory of God shone brighter and brighter until one final day when it would be revealed in all of its magnificence. And this is where we get to our third point, that Jesus came to shine light into the darkness of humanity. And we'll see that from verse 8. See, Paul writes here, being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You might have found it quite strange that Jimmy was reading from Isaiah 53, such a dark passage. But truly, that is why Jesus came. You see, the word translated here, form, as what Paul speaks of, is the different Greek word than the other verses in verse 6 and 7, which is also translated as form. Here it simply means outward appearance. He came as the outward appearance of man. Now, to many people in the world, His outward appearance reflects the very nature of a human being. People fail to see God's glory. For example, they see the outward appearance. They see the shell. They see Him as a good teacher, an exalted rabbi, a moral philosopher. That's why Jesus asked His disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" But you see, this is the problem with humanity in general. All of us have experienced that, haven't we? You see, we love to make judgments according to outward appearances. We love to look at the shell and not see the person. It is like waking up on Christmas morning, perhaps many of your children did this morning, and going down to the Christmas tree and seeing all of the boxes wrapped colorfully and being so disappointed that all you can see is colorful boxes. Every single person knows that within those boxes are hidden treasures. The boxes are not what they are in the outward appearance, but within them they reveal a hidden glory that when we open it up, it delights our lives. In a great sense, Jesus is God's Christmas presents to the world. You see, there's a great deal more to the outer box. And if you are willing to look a little bit deeper, behold our faith, and consider who He is truly, you may come to see that there is more to Jesus than you've given Him credit for. There is more to this man who walked in Galilee and died upon a cross. You see, there is more to the colorful boxes in the Christmas tree. There's more to every single individual human being, and there's certainly more to Jesus. Paul wrote, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Now, this speaks of His willful humiliation. In a great sense, here is He who held eternity in His hand subjected Himself to the temporal, to death, to that which we all must go through. And in His death, He reveals who He truly is. Now, why do I say so? Why in His death? You see, in many respects, Jesus was born to die. I wonder what it would have been like if you knew the day of your death from the moment of your birth. And if you knew that the day of your death was a horrible death, an awful death, a death that no one else is willing to take, and that you lived your entire life with this shadow hanging over you, would your birth be joy to the world? Or would it be like Jeremiah, "Woe is me"? You see, this is the point of Christmas, yeah, and we cannot forget this. Jesus' entire life pointed to one climactic moment, and that is His death on the cross. That's what His whole life was about. That is where He was living for, and He knew this. Jesus Himself referred to this moment as the moment when He would be fully glorified by His Heavenly Father, and that His Heavenly Father would be fully glorified in Him. That word glory can be reflected in light. This is the moment when God's light would shine the brightest. And this glory, Jesus says, is the glory that He had from before the world existed. This is the very emanation of light, the very essence of who God is here upon a cross. And it's through the cross of Christ that God's light shines into this dark world. See, it is in Christ that we truly understand the nature of God as He revealed to Moses, the Lord, the God most merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is revealed fully in who Jesus is. Why? Because it is in Jesus that God is reconciling the world to Himself. It is in Jesus that God is making all things right. It is in Jesus that God is coming so close that we can see and enjoy Him. It is in Jesus that God moved into the neighborhood and became one of us. So in concluding here this morning, our reflection upon this beautiful psalm in Philippians, this is the entire point of Christmas, to point us to reflect, a time to think and consider, a time to pause amidst the craziness. I know many of you are going to go from here to your houses where it's going to be people, enjoyment, and whatever else is going to follow from that. And this evening you're going to be exhausted and you're going to go to bed, and tomorrow morning you're going to wake up with leftovers. But some of you will go home lonely, to no one. Some of you will be remembering the loss of a loved one and the loneliness of that. Some of you know that there are people that are in hospital. Some of you will not go home to abundant joy. Some of you will. The question is, how do we fill up the loneliness, the emptiness? With what do we fill it up? And with what do we spend our time thinking? Whether we are busy or whether we are utterly lonely. I want to point you this year to stop and think. I want to encourage you to do one thing this season, just one thing. I want you to encourage you to look at Jesus from a fresh perspective. Just this season, just this day, stop and think about Him from a fresh perspective. I want you to look deeper than the surface. Give Him the same respect that you feel you deserve. Recognize there is very likely far more to Him than you have granted over the years. And pause to examine the nature hidden behind the external form. Think of the words that He has spoken of Himself. I am the light. Think about what He has come to do, die upon a cross. Consider the rest of the Philippian hymn, that He was raised to life, exalted to the right hand of God. And this season, perhaps you will take a moment and think about everything else that you might find under the Christmas tree, or your anticipation for New Year's Eve, or everything else that you're looking forward to, and see that everything else is vain compared to this one thing. Because if you have Jesus, you have the hidden treasure. If you have Jesus, you have found life. If you have Jesus, you have seen the light. If you have Jesus, you have beheld God's face. But if you don't have Him, you will have nothing but emptiness and darkness. It's so unfortunate that John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Such a broad statement concludes with a statement from Jesus in chapter 3, verse 19. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. Will that be you this season, considering leaving this room today, the emptiness that might prevail? Will you continue to love the darkness, or will you come to the light? Let us pray. Father, I pray now that Christ will be glorified as He glorified you this season, in our hearts, enthrone Him. And may we believe and look on Him with faith. I pray that He will comfort all of those who are lonely, all of those who are mourning the loss of a loved one this season, knowing that there's an empty place at the table, that place will be filled with Christ. And all of those of us who will go past the season just doing our everyday tasks or having the busyness of the season overwhelm us, I pray we may pause for a moment and consider the light that shines in the darkness, that Christ has come for this reason, that He has come to redeem us and bring us back to God, to show us the face of God, His glory revealed, and through Him that we may become partakers of that glory as we become children of God and bearers of light. Oh, please do that for us this season, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.